Good evening, everybody. It is Wednesday night. Welcome to Cannonball Coming, a new Pirates radio show podcast. I am Matt Curtick, alongside Mike Shuley and Logan Carney on Army Radio, your campus, your voice. We're going to get started right now. So, the Pittsburgh Pirates are opening up their season tomorrow afternoon at 1:10 in Detroit against the Tigers. So let's get started. Starting batting first at DH, Adam Frazier. Batting second and playing second base, Josh Harrison. Batting third and playing right field, Gregory Polanco. At first base, batting fourth, cleanup, Josh Bell. Batting fifth, new sign, left fielder Corey Dickerson. Batting sixth and playing center field for the Pirates, Starling Marte. Batting seventh and catching, Francisco Cervelli. Batting eighth and playing third base, a new Pirate, Colin Moran. And batting ninth and playing shortstop, Jordy Mercer. Yvonne Nova will take the mound against the Tigers' Jordan Zimmermann for the 1:10 start in Detroit. So we heard the lineup. Kind of an interesting lineup we have going for the Pirates this season. Obviously, we start the season without center fielder Andrew McCutchen and starting pitcher Derek Cool. So we have some familiar faces or some unfamiliar faces in the lineup this season, along with a starter who we've only had on the team for, this is his second year. So this is interesting.
Second full season.
Yvonne Nova. So I'll start with you, Logan. What kind of stands out to you with this lineup this year?
It kind of stands out for me with the team as a whole, to be honest. I mean, you look at the lineup, and I think it says, you know, they have a lot of good players. They have a lot of good players on their team, a lot of guys that are above average. But they don't have a star player. They don't have the Andrew McCutchen to put them over the top. They don't have an ace in Gerrit Cole, because, yes, he was an ace in Gerrit Cole to put him over the top. They have a bunch of average players that, you know, can break out. Josh Bell has potential to become a star. Yeah. What happened this year? Probably not. A couple years, you know, it's likely. Gregory Polanco, still waiting for him to figure out how to hit a lefty. But if he ever figures out how to hit a lefty, then he can also be a star player. Marte, I mean, we've seen what he's done before. When they were in playoffs for 3 years, actually, I think from the four-year stretch from 2013 to 2016, him and Mike Trout were the only players in baseball to average or have a 5 WAR every single year. Corey Dickerson's a good trade that they got in. They got the raise to eat Daniel Hudson's whole salary, and Hudson was not a good pitcher. He had over 5 ERA.
I think they got better just by getting rid of Daniel Hudson.
Yeah, and then they added a guy who would have led the team in home runs last year in their lineup, desperately missed a power threat outside of Josh Bell and McCutchen. But the team, they just look average. There's nothing that excites me. There's nobody on this team that I think is awful, but there's nobody on this team that I think can carry the team. They're missing a star player, and I think that's the upsetting thing with this lineup.
I think you hit the nail right on the head, Logan. I mean, the lack of star power in this team is what's probably at the end of the year going to see this team fall around right back around that 500 mark or a little below it again, probably in the same mark they were last year. I don't think they're a better team than they were last year. I don't think if they are a worse team, they're not that far worse. Yes, they lost McCutchen. Yes, they lost Gerrit Cole. But at the end of the day, with the seasons that those guys had last year, are you missing that much? I think the thing you're missing with them is the potential star power that both of those players had, opposed to their actual numbers last season. And like I said, at the end of the day, I think this team, Logan hit the nail right on the head. It's just average. No one's great. No one's terrible. They're just meh.
Yeah, for sure. I think the thing that stands out the most is Gregory Polanco batting third. I think that's an interesting – I think he might be – in terms of one of the least consistent hitters on our team, and to have him batting third seems like an interesting move that Clint Hurdle's throwing out there.
Well, I think it's because they're going against a righty. And yeah, Jordan Zimmermann has not been the Jordan Zimmermann, you know, of, you know, the early in his career. He's not been a great pitcher the past 2 years with Detroit, as he was when he was with Washington. But Gregory Polanco, I don't think this is going to be the usual. I don't think this is going to be the lineup at the end of the year. If they struggle, Josh Harrison will be traded. That I think he was. The reason he wasn't traded here is because, you know, there's not a market for second baseman, because there's so many good second basemen. He's 32 years old. He's making $10 million, and he's just as good as 10 other second basemen out there, because second base is deep. At the trade deadline, though, when somebody needs a utility man, the Pirates can get a good return for him if he plays like he did last year. So I don't think Josh Harrison will be here by the end of the year. You look at the rest of it. Cervelli, I hope they'd be traded. Even when they were good and they signed to the extension, I said this is going to be a bad extension. Jordy Mercer might be gone by the end of the year. He could be trade bait, but that's a name that I think we're all going to get used to seeing in the lineup. But then Marte, I feel, is going to be the three hitter by next month.
Yeah,
Marte is a consistent three hitter.
And honestly, looking at this lineup, that's the thing that surprises me most, is that Starling Marte's in the six hole.
That's, yeah, definitely.
And I mean, like you said about Jordy Mercer, I like Jordy Mercer. I think he's a good glove to have. And I mean, let's be honest, someone has to bat seventh or eighth
every night.
And
he's consistent every single season. He bats about 250, 260.
Yeah, and exactly. And I think you're going to get. He's kind of on that fringe of like a gold glove caliber. Mm-hmm. Not quite there, but not like he's not at all what anyone would call a liability. So I think he's just a solid player that, you know, he's not a star, but he's a solid player to have in the lineup. That's why I like Jordy Mercer, but definitely I think Marte. I mean, looking at this lineup though, Harrison, who was an all-star, Frazier had a very good year last year and he can move around. Josh Bell, who has the potential to be a star. Corey Dickerson, who would have, like Logan mentioned, could have led this or would have led the team last year in home runs. So he's another solid hitter. Then you have Starling Marte, who, once again, potential to have a star caliber year and could be one of the better players, not just on the Pirates roster, but in the game of baseball itself. And then you have Francisco Cervelli, who's a solid catcher, and Jordy Mercer and Colin Moran, who are decent at their craft as well. So, I mean, this roster doesn't look bad, but, you know, there's a lot of ifs, I feel.
Yeah, there is. I mean, especially, you know, they didn't keep Jose Azuna on the team, somebody that I would have liked to have seen kept on the team. But, I mean, as you know, there's just a lot of ifs. It seems like to be an average team.
Yeah, we're talking about Jordy Mercer in the field, and I think he's one Brandon Crawford away from being – in the tots for a gold glove every single season. So the Pittsburgh Pirates made a lot of off-season transactions, which a lot of fans looked at questionably. Most famous, the whole Bob Nutting thing and the Pirates petitioning to get, you know, rid of him as the owner, and a lot of people at Neil Huntington, which I can't really blame all the moves that Neil Huntington's doing if he's not getting the money that he needs, but... So we're looking at these transactions, and other than the Andrew McCutchen, Garrett Cole transactions, Logan, anything stand out to you? I know you mentioned Jose Osuna just a few seconds ago. Anything else stand out to you that's happened since January?
Well, the new Pirates, I'll be taking on the Pirates life. Thank you for that, Mike, with our DJ
yo
over
ho,
there.
Yo-ho, Pirates life for me.
Corey Dickerson was a phenomenal trade. Phenomenal trade. He's someone that, if the Pirates are true and that they're in the retooling, not rebuilding, that they like to claim, then this trade is phenomenal, because he's a guy he's in his late 20s, I believe. He's a good power bat. He didn't cost anything. In fact, they improved by the cost, because they got rid of Daniel Hudson. We were talking about before the show, they got rid of, early in the show, they got rid of Daniel Hudson to get him, and that improved the team addition by subtraction. And you know, Corey Dickerson, he signed for 1 year. We're gonna have him for 1 year.
Yeah.
Austin Meadows will be ready, hopefully. I mean, he's fell off a lot in the prospect ratings, but he's still top 50. I believe he's 46th. I want to say 44th. He's in the 40s. He's around 45.
Yeah, we say sprint training doesn't matter too much, but Austin Meadows did have a pretty, I'd say, pretty great sprint training in terms of his batting. I saw a lot of extra base hits out of him. So.
And like, yeah, that's one of the big things. Even like with preseason football, people don't like it, but it's a time for the young guys to really go out there and kind of earn their way in and show what their flashes of their potential and what they could possibly develop into. And I think looking at a guy like Austin Meadows, who's had injury troubles galore over the past couple of seasons, I mean, for him to come out and really kind of show, because you are kind of getting to mix in with like the starting pitchers, so kind of still nibbling a bit and getting a little taste of what the big leagues could be like and possibly what he could do at a higher level of baseball.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and the Pirates, it's interesting. In the last, I'd say last 1 or 2 weeks, the Pirates have moved a lot of guys down to AAA, AA. So I know, Loden, you said earlier about three people on our bench this year, it's looking like. That's an interesting idea for the Pirates to have. Why do you think, Loden, that the Pirates have optioned all these guys down to the minors?
Well, the guys in their bench, they're utility guys. So they don't really need four. I would have liked them to, five, I think. Because I think they have four players on their bench. I could be wrong, including a catcher, backup catcher. But yeah, other than that, three players. They don't really need them because they're all utility guys. You know, Adam Frazier, Sean Rodriguez, utility guys, so they can play anywhere. I would have liked to have kept Jose Zuna, because I like his bat a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been teaching him third base, too. I mean, now they got Colin Moran, so they don't really need to put him at third base because they were viewing him kind of as maybe a potential successor to David Freese.
Yeah.
The thing that stands out to me, though, when I look at their roster, and it's more of not their 25-man, but their 40-man. They have so much more depth than they did last year. And the biggest issue for the team last year, if they had depth on their team, they would have finished, I think they would have finished about 500, above 500, if they had depth. Because I think that was the biggest thing lacking. Because whenever, you know, Starling Marte got suspended, who'd they put out there?
Yeah.
Nobody.
Yeah.
Polanco
got hurt.
And they refused to trade for Jay Bruce. Who they put out there? Nobody.
So we had Jose Osuna. We had the Jordan Luplo.
John Jason. John Jason. Time out.
If they had depth,
that's who we're missing this year.
If they had depth, they wouldn't have had to put John Jaso out in right field, who's a horrible right fielder.
Who's more concerned with tracking down his hat that would fall off of his horrendous hair than opposed to the baseball.
Do not make fun of that hair. That hair is terrific.
But
in the outfield.
I mean, they got guys that are very good. You know, they got guys that are decent players in the minor leagues that can be called up. You know, they signed Daniel Nava to a minor league contract. Very good depth players. Your fifth, sixth, seventh outfielder. They got Jordan Luplow. Played well towards the end of the year. Jacob Stallings has played well offensively.
I don't trust anybody that's related to Kevin Stallings, so Jacob Stallings can stay in Indianapolis as far as I'm concerned.
Max Moroff, very solid player. Nick Kingham, who is coming off Tommy John, could be up at the end of the year. Was a top prospect before.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Bostic, solid player. I mean, those are some of the guys on last year's team. But they made a lot of. They signed Michael Saunders, another outfielder who had a couple of seasons with over 20 home runs to a minor league deal. There's just so much more depth than last year's team, and it's frustrating because last year's team, you know, they had good enough players that they had depth. They could have, you know, snagged one of those wild. Maybe, you know, they could have. You know, the NL Central was not a good division last year. They could have maybe snagged one of those spots. They at least would have been in the, you know, contention, and they wouldn't be retooling like they are now. But now they have a lot of depth, and it's mind boggling. It's mind boggling.
I certainly agree, and I mean, last year, the Cubs were kind of in this funk, and they did not look like the Cubs of the two seasons prior to that, where they won, 97 games and then eventually pretty much ran the table all the way to a World Series title. I mean, I don't expect that to happen again this year. I mean, you look at up and down that Cubs roster, and it's very talented. I think the Brewers were a bit of a surprise last year. I didn't think they'd be as good as they were, but they were in contention throughout the season. The Cardinals, always a solid team. It seems like they're kind of like the Detroit Red Wings almost of baseball, in a sense where they're just very up until recently for the Red Wings, but they're just a very consistent team and they're constantly in the hunt. And like, I agree. I think possibly a couple moves last year, but looking at this team this year, I don't think the Reds are going to be very good. I don't think the Pirates are better than the Brewers, Cardinals, or Cubs though. So mm-hmm. I think they're kind of in that position again where they're kind of just in no man's land.
Yeah, definitely. I know you mentioned the Brewers. The Brewers kind of surprised everybody last season. And then this offseason, they signed a bunch of new players that kind of came as a surprise to some people. They got Lorenzo Cain out there. They still don't really have a pitching staff, which is definitely going to be a problem for them. But the Brewers came out this past offseason and really got these free agents that You were kind of hoping the Pirates might have.
Did they not make a trade for Christian Yelich as well? Was that a trade or was that a free agent?
That was a trade.
During the Miami Marlins fire sale this offseason.
The funny thing about that, too, they made those moves. They added about $20 million in payroll.
Yeah.
Baseball, I think it was Baseball Reference, Baseball Prospectus, one of those top ones, has them two wins above the Pirates in their projections. You look at a lot of the Brewers, and this one you printed out for us, Fangraphs, has them with a losing record at 78-84. Baseball Prospectus has them with the same record. You know, and then the other one that you have, I don't recognize Hero. I don't recognize that one. Has them 88-75. So, but you know, you look at some of these projections. They added $20 million in payroll, but nobody's saying they're that much better than the Pirates because, like you said, they don't have a pitching staff. They don't have that strong of a rotation. If they went out and they signed Yu Darvish or something like that, then yeah, they would be better. But and one of the things about the Brewers too is the moves that they made, and this is something that. You know, I got in an argument with some of my friends and family whenever the Cardinals traded for Ozuna because they said the Pirates should have went out and got him because it didn't cost much. And I said, why will we add an outfielder when we don't need an outfielder? It doesn't make sense. They'd be like, yeah, he's a great bat. He was an all-star. But we don't need an outfielder. We have solid outfielders.
Yeah.
The Brewers added outfielders when they already had solid outfielders. They had Lewis Brinson, who they traded, one of the top prospects in baseball, pulled up good numbers last year, and they traded him. They didn't really upgrade that much because they had a guy that was going to be a superstar. Ryan Braun, still solid player, even though I hate his guts.
People forget about him, but great player.
Yeah, well, people rightfully forget about him because, you know, he's a jerk. But
Logan hates Ryan Braun, by the way, guys.
And then the other outfielder, I'm thinking Keon Broxton, who had a 2020 season last year. The Pirates traded away.
Formerly a Pittsburgh Pirate.
Yeah, formerly a Pittsburgh Pirate. The Pirates traded away.
That stinks.
But,
yeah.
The thing is that they upgraded the outfield. They didn't need help in the outfield. They needed help with the rotation. And that's the thing with the Pirates, because it's the same thing that the Padres did when the Padres tried to go all in when they traded for Matt Kemp. And then they traded for Justin Upton. They traded for Will Myers. And then all of a sudden, they had way too many outfielders. They didn't have anybody that could play center field. They had three power-hitting outfielders. Same thing that the Dodgers did early in the new management when they made those trades with Carl Crawford, Matt Kemp, Andre Ethier. I'm trying to think of all the other outfielders that they've had, but they had so many Scott Van Slyke, a bunch of outfielders there that were quality outfielders, and they ended up struggling for a bit, and then they still haven't won in the playoffs. And I think that's going to hurt the Brewers, and I don't think they're going to be as good as a lot of people are expecting.
I mean, you make a really good point. I feel that the Pirates, not only do we have the three Dickerson, Marte, and Polanco, I also feel that they're trying to really. I wouldn't be surprised if Meadows comes out hot, that they're going to try to maybe progress his development a little bit further. I wouldn't be surprised if we see him by the end of the year, and I'm not talking a September call-up either.
Yeah, unless the Brewers add a pitcher, unless the Brewers add a starter at the trade deadline or early in the regular season, because there's still some good starters out there for free agency. I mean, Alex Cobb was just signed, 2 weeks ago? He signed with the Orioles?
Yeah, Arrieta was just signed a couple weeks ago as well.
There's some good starters out there. Some
quality starters left out
on
the market.
John Lackey's still out there.
You know, you make a good point with all that. The Brewers do add all these players that, on paper or maybe on a video game.
If this was MLB The Show, then you're having fun. But
the Pirates, they don't need an outfielder because we have those three outfielders. Hopefully, Gregory Polanco stays healthy. We don't have to worry about that. But you also have Adam Frazier and you have Sean Rodriguez, who could play the outfield, who aren't all-stars by any means, but they're going to get the job done whenever
they're serviceable in the outfield if needed.
It would be stupid if we signed Marcell Ozuna.
Worst case scenario, they could stick Josh Harrison in the outfield again because we saw that a few years ago, if you can remember that.
Yeah, that was his first all-star year.
And I think, like the Brewers, I think everybody can agree that the Pirates pitching staff is the question mark. That's along with the Brewers. It seems like the Cubs and you have the Astros and the Dodgers and the Yankees. They always seem to have and sign these big-name pitchers, and that's something that the Pirates haven't really done for a while now. But we can jump right into the MLB predictions. As I know, Logan, you mentioned how the Brewers are going to finish and how the Pirates are going to finish. So right now, the source is 538. They're a pretty well-known MLB statistical source. They have the Pirates finishing 22nd with only three NL teams finishing behind them, and the Pirates have less than 1% chance to win the World Series and about an 18% chance to make the playoffs. 18, I think it's a little higher than I would think. So, Mike, I can ask you, what are your thoughts on the Pirates and them finishing 22nd with, they predict, a 77-85 record?
I personally feel that the Pirates, I think they're going to win 70. I have them at for 74, 73 games. I don't think.
Okay.
Because I feel this season could go one of two ways. If everything goes well, Bell steps up and becomes shows flashes of the player that he could become, and Marte reverts to his old form, and Polanco really displays that he is a solid everyday baseball player.
And Jung Ho Gong gets an AA meeting.
If he can get led into America and leave Korea, then hey, maybe we're talking something different.
Hey, maybe drunk Jung Ho Gong was the best thing for the Pirates.
But
in all seriousness, though, if everything goes well, I could see this team finishing above high 500, maybe towards the 85 win mark, and contending possibly for a wild card spot. But that's if everything goes well. That's if Marte doesn't get suspended again, Polanco isn't hurt the whole year. God forbid something happens to Corey Dickerson, but you never know. Tyon could get hurt again. Why can't I think of his name? The opening day starter, his name is
Ivan Nova.
Something happens to him or he starts slipping. You just never know. So I feel that it could go really good or just start this spiral and just go down fast.
I look at this team. I have them at 78 wins, and I know I'm being a bit generous. But to me, they seem like they have depth, which I think is the most important thing when it comes to building a team, is you have to have depth. That's the thing the Pirates had a lot of in 2015 when, you know, they got Travis Snyder and he was a minor leaguer after Snyder was their fourth outfielder the years prior and was a very good addition, you know, and then they got guys like that, you know, they had a lot of depth. This year, the 2016, they didn't have depth. You know, they threw out a rotation with Ryan Vogelsong because they didn't have depth at starting pitcher and there's nobody there. You know, the 2017, they put John Jaso in right field because they didn't have depth. That depth is the most, it's not the star players. Like, people are like, well, why don't the Pirates sign a $20 million guy? Because that's not what fixes a team. It's if there are depth. And the Pirates have depth. And I think the Pirates, but the problem is they don't have, that's, you need both. You don't have that star player. You don't have that McCutcheon. Maybe Bell comes up, hits over 30 home runs, you know, bats 300 because he has the potential to do that. And then they end up making the playoffs. That's the best thing that I can see. But that's the only scenario I can see when they're making the playoffs. They need everything to go right to get a wild card spot.
Mm-hmm.
I can't see them winning the division over the Cubs. I think the Cardinals are a better team, but I can't see them passing the Cardinals if everything goes right.
Mm-hmm.
But again, you know, if one thing goes wrong, they're not making the playoffs.
Yeah, and let me just throw out first that the teams that this chart has projected to win the World Series the most is at 14%. They have the Astros and the Indians. And I'm just going to throw out there that Loden's actually wearing an Indians jersey right now. He claims, Ricky Vaughn, major league. So I get it. He's allowed to.
Quality movie.
Me and Mike over here, I'm wearing a black A.J. Burnett jersey. Mike's wearing a vintage hat for the Pirates. But so I'm just saying, Loden, you're the only one here that's not wearing Pirate stuff. So shame on you. But behind the Indians, we have the Dodgers, the Yankees, and the Cubs. Every year now, it seems like the Cubs are one of the best teams in the majors. 10% chance to win the World Series. They're supposed to have over 95 wins. So that's obviously going to be a problem for the Pirates this year. So next, we're going to introduce a new segment. Everything's new. we're going to call it Yinzer Talk. We're going to bring in a Yinzer right now, and he's going to give us his insight on how the Pirates are going to do this year. So take it away, Yinzer.
Hi, Yins guys. My name is Joe from Lawrenceville, and I'm pretty much here to talk about the Pirates.
So, Joe, what were your thoughts about, you know, the trade of Andrew McCutcheon?
Gee, I ain't surprised about it. I mean, Yins guys seen it for years now. He ain't going to pay for nothing but seven springs. That's all about he's playing for. It's all about money. McCutcheon was still a good player. Watch he gets out and wins the MVP this year. Where is he at? San Francisco, Los Angeles, somewhere out there. You guys never know what he's going to do. Maybe, I don't know, maybe he was like Samson from the Bible or something, cut off all his hair, he's no good no more. I just don't know. He's Bob Nutting again, even with Garrett Cole. He knew he wasn't going to pay that guy. I was remember a couple years ago, he's probably having a great season. We're going to pay him like $500,000. Like, geez, pay the guys.
So, Joe, we have some new Pirates this year. Colin Moran, Corey Dickerson are just a few of the new faces that we're going to have on our roster. What do you think about them?
I don't know who that first guy he's mentioned was, but I heard a little bit about this Dickerson guy, and I heard he's from Don Air somewhere, or Tampa Bay or something like that.
Yeah, Tampa Bay.
Yeah, I didn't know how he did for the Devil Rays or nothing last year or something like that.
The Rays.
The Devil Rays. I'll give him that.
The Rays. The Rays.
Whatever it's called these days. But where's he going to play? Left field?
Yeah, left field. Left field.
I don't know. Maybe move him to right field because Polanco can't even play the ball off the wall.
Yeah, you're right.
He's worse than John Jason chasing his hat around. Thank God he's not on the team this year. I was watching Joe Dirt about once a year. I want to see him every time I turn on a channel, watch Pirates.
Not a John Jason fan over here, Joe.
I like the Joe Dirt reference. The Joe Dirt reference was one I was not expecting at all. So, Joe, I have to ask you, when you look at this roster now, and, you know, McCutcheon's gone, Cole's gone, who's your favorite? Who are you buying a jersey for your kid? Are any of these people, are you going to buy your kid a jersey of any of these names?
Jeez, I just get them one of Andy Vance-like jerseys from China before I get a jersey off this team. Let's get through this lineup. Cervelli got a good walk-up song and a nice beard. Marte's a cheater. Got busted for steroids. How's he gonna use steroids and not hit 30 home runs a year?
Well, because he didn't play 80 games.
No, I'm talking a year before that.
I don't know. Maybe he didn't use the steroids.
I don't even care. How many home runs he hit last year? Not 30, and he was on steroids. Cheater. Gregory Polanco got a. What? I just remember when he came up, he was gonna be next thing. He could walk on water. He's gonna be the second coming of Jesus Christ himself. Okay, he's going to bat about 240 and not be able to hit a left-handed pitching.
All right, so I got one more question for you, Joe. I'd like really good insight. I know you're definitely talking for the entire city of Pittsburgh here, which I love. We just got one more question. We're on the show, me, Mike, and Loder were all talking about how the Pirates are going to do this season. And you know, MLB doesn't really think too highly of the Pirates, but how do you think we're going to do this year? Our record. What's your record prediction for us, Joe?
Oh, jeez. You know, I hope no one goes to ball games. You guys know the best way to get this team back on track, getting back. Well, they can't win like the Pirates and Penguins. Steelers and Penguins. just don't go to games. With that being said, I can see them win 83 games.
You can see them win 83 games. Above 500, Joe. I like the optimism.
Yeah, he'll probably do all right. And then by the time they're around 500, people start going back to the ball games. Start looking at the video. You guys know that new video wall they put down there on the Clemente wall. Yeah. Start looking at that. And then maybe next year they'll probably raise the ticket prices back up again and cut half the team.
That's how Bob Nutting does it. All right. Well, thank you, Joe. We really appreciate your insight. Definitely coming from a true Yinzer right here. So thank you, Joe. Until next time, let's go Butts.
No doubt about it.
Well, Matt, what's next on the show?
We got a song to play for you guys. It's a famous baseball song.
Everyone maybe just stand up, take a little break, follow the Eaton Park Bouncing Cookie, because it is time for the seventh inning stretch.
Today's seventh inning stretch is brought to you by Seven Springs Resort. Seven Springs. Put more money in Bob Nutting's wallet.
Don't bring Joe back here.
Bob Nutting's a jag-off.
So, our seventh inning stretch, we're going to do a quick little trivia game. Why don't you guys play along at home if you're listening? If you're listening, you probably know us. Our numbers. Text us, and then we'll see if you guys did better than our two hosts up here. So, as we pull up the trivia game here, let's do it. All right. So guys, today I have for you, this is our first show. We're just going to do basic Pittsburgh Pirates trivia.
Okay.
Are you guys ready for that?
I'm ready for it.
I am.
All right. Here we go. Yin's guys are ready. So, I was a starting catcher for the Pirates from 96 until 2004. I finished third in the rookie year voting, made three All-Star teams before I was traded to the A's for Arthur Rose and Mark Redmond. Who am I?
Benito Santiago.
No, you are Jason Kendall.
You Jason Kendall.
It is Jason Kendall. Nice
no,
try,
it's Benito
Mike.
Santiago.
Oh, surely. Down 1-0 on you.
It's Benito Santiago.
Come on. Jason Kendall was my favorite Pirate from the time I was born to 2004 until we traded him to the Oakland Athletics, and I became very sad.
Yeah, remember that time he broke his ankle?
I don't care. That one time Jason Kendall had that batting stance where he wagged the bat up in the air. I love Jason Kendall.
He tried to act like he's Will Sturgill or something like that.
The Pittsburgh Pirates had the honor of going to the first World Series in baseball in 1903. Mm-hmm. Who did they play?
The Boston Red Sox.
They did play the Boston Red Sox.
Oh, Scholey's got that one, 1-1. By the way, there's no prize in this one, but you guys can have, you know, we'll give you guys, you know, a little 30-second of being able to, you know, make fun of the
hey,
other
Scholey,
one.
Do you know what's, do you know what stadium they played in?
Oh.
I don't think Fenway – was Fenway built then?
I don't know. Was
I
it?
I think Fenway wasn't until 1912 or 1908. I think Wrigley and Fenway, I get the dates confused.
Right.
Which one, the Red Sox played in or which the one the Pirates played
the
in?
The Red Sox. Because the Pirates were – they were not in –
would have been Expedition,
they were
right?
Exposition Park.
I'm pretty sure. Right Expedition Park. I could be wrong.
The Red Sox were not in Fenway Park. Where was it they were alongside the streets of one of the universities in Boston. I cannot think of the name of it.
The Huntington Avenue Gardens.
That is what it is called. It's the Huntington Avenue. All I know is that Greg Brown went there when the Pirates were playing at Fenway last season, and he posted a bit thin about
good old Neil Huntington striking back again.
You have any more trivia questions for us, Logan?
Yeah, we'll do some all so right. You guys can do it. Who was the manager of the Pirates in 1979?
Oh, God. Chuck Knoll's football, isn't he?
Yes, Chuck Knoll was the Steelers coach. Oh.
What's his name?
Chuck Tanner?
Chuck Tanner is correct. Scholey takes the lead 2-1. Three questions. We're going to do five questions here. The winner gets a 1 minute to talk about whatever they want.
Oh, wait, no, never mind. I thought you said I had three. Never mind.
First to five. We'll do first to five. What number did manager Jim Leland wear? Why don't I give you a hit? 1 through 10.
3.
He wore number 10.
That is correct. 2-2. All right. To separate it, in what year did the franchise begin?
1887.
Looking for 1882.
Ooh, really? Ooh. 1887. Isn't that? I think that's Pitt. Pitt started in 1887. I don't know. Whatever. There's an 1887 plastered somewhere.
Something like that.
In the franchise history, the Pirates were called what? Prior to taking on the name Pirates.
The Pittsburgh Alleghenies.
That is correct. 3-2. Kurtic, you're falling behind here.
I was going to say the Steagles, but that's football, and that's
that was in
Eagles
World War
II
when the Steelers and Eagles joined.
Yeah,
they were also the Steelers and I'm trying to think of the other team that they combined
with.
The
Steelers were also
time.
The Pirates at one point.
Well, yeah, because back in the day, NFL teams used to always name them after MLB teams.
Yeah,
they were the team formerly sponsored by Seven Springs.
Easy pop nutting.
With only 8 at bats, which Pirate had the highest average for his team in the 1960 World Series?
My guess is going to be Roberto Clemente. No. I don't know. That's my guess.
Not Roberto Clemente.
I have another guess.
Looking for Hal Smith. I don't know if you guys know Hal Smith.
I was gonna say I didn't think it was Mazeroski. I thought that
I was
too
gonna
easy.
Pick a. I was gonna go wild card and say Mazeroski because I don't know if he was injured.
I don't
or
think
not for
Clemente wasn't on the team in 1960.
All right,
he did. He was 1970. Yes,
Pirates
Clemente
won.
Was Clemente on the 60 team?
I don't believe.
No,
so.
No, he wouldn't. I don't think he would have been. Yeah, I think he might have been signed right before that. All right, next question. The Pirates. Oh, by the way, it's 1787 was Pitt. I just got a text from my producer.
Okay.
1787. And by that, I mean my girlfriend. But other than that, the Pirates. We're moving on. The Pirates won 103 games in 1902, then 110 games in 1909. After 1909, how many 100 win seasons did they have?
Can you give us a hint, like over under? I don't know.
My guess is the Pirates have only.
Let's just say it's really difficult to get 100 wins. That's your hint.
My guess would be 4 100 win seasons since then.
I'm gonna say 7.
They've had zero 100-win seasons since 1909.
Wow. I know they really, really struggled in the 20s and the, like, 1910s and 20s and 30s. They were all – there was a time period where the Pirates didn't have a hitter for years during the dead ball era.
What number did Sid Bream wear in 1990?
Eight. By the way, by the way, Roberto Clemente was on the 1960 Pirates.
Oh, there we go.
He was 25 years old.
Why are you asking us all these questions for the Pirates in 1970s?
These are the ones that I pulled up. These are the ones that are pulling up.
I want to have questions about Rod Barajas. So, but I have no idea. I'm going to guess number four.
It was number five.
I was going
to
say.
We'll give it to you, Matt. 3-3. 3-3. And we're going to say the winner. Whoever gets the next one right, we'll say wins. Gets 1 minute.
That just ups the stakes.
All right. Who was the first Pittsburgh Pirate to win the Cy Young Award in 1960? You cannot look it up. I'm going to close that computer.
I just saw his name. I just had to look up. I was just looking at the loss.
Who is it, Logan?
Can I just say it?
Fine.
Was it Vern Law?
It was Vern Law, but you're not getting the point, you little cheater. Who were the three? I'm going to move on from that one. So we got one more question for you guys.
Well, yeah, one more guess correctly.
All right. Let's see if we can find it. Who was the first Pittsburgh Pirate to be inducted into the Hall of Fame?
Honus Wagner.
That was, you know what? I thought it was Scholey, but we're going to give it to Curtic because you cheated on the last one.
What?
Curtic.
At least I called out that I cheated. This is an outrage.
Curtic.
This is blasphemy.
1 minute.
This is absolutely
Curtic,
ridiculous.
You have 1 minute to talk about whatever you want for 1 minute. You brag about the victory. Tell us a little upcoming thing. You got 1 minute of you time. Here you go.
You know, we're going to go back and we're going to play these tapes and we're going to find out who finished saying Wagner first.
I definitely said it first. Anyway, please just mute his mic. I don't want to talk. So the Pittsburgh Pirates this season, folks, man, got a lot to look forward to this season. Over here, Mike's angry over here, Loden, because he was wrong and didn't get the answer right. It is an outrage. Anyways, but the Pirates, I mean, we could talk about how the Pirates are not as competitive as the Steelers and Penguins. Let's be honest here, folks. I would love to see the Pirates win a World Series in my lifetime once. But by the way this franchise has been going, I don't know if I'll ever see that. I think 2013 was our playoff year. They haven't really been competitive since then. But we're out here hopeful every single season, hoping that the Pirates will eventually win that World Series. Why are you timeouting?
Is my mic unmuted?
Yes.
They weren't competitive since the year they made the NLDS.
That was 2013. Yeah, right?
They won 98. They won 98
games. Oh man,
like,
I need to mute you.
No,
two seasons after that, and then they made the wild card the year after.
They had the second best record in baseball.
Listen, the Pirates.
That 98 win team is one of the best teams in Pirate history.
They were competitive during that season, but they didn't get past the wild card game. So that season doesn't mean anything to me, regardless of whether or not their record was 98 wins or not.
Wow, that's tough.
The Pirates lost the NLDS, which is...
So we could see the Russian judge.
Okay. Anyways, let's just move on.
What else do we have to talk about,
this
Matt?
This season at PNC Park, there are a few new changes in terms of our food and what things are called now. So I'm going to just list off a couple of our new things at PNC Park. You guys can tell me your opinions of them. So we got some new foods being added this year. There's one called the Pulled Pork Pierogi Hoagie. It's a lot to say. And there's also the Kielbasa Grinder, as well as the Nashville Hot Chicken Taco Trio. These are all some pretty interesting food items that we are all adding to PNC Park. If you had to pick one to eat right now, Lodi, what would you pick?
Pulled pork pierogi hoagie. I have had the pulled pork pierogi sliders before, and they are phenomenal. So the pulled pork pierogi hoagie, which even sounds better, pulled pork pierogi hoagie. Sounds like the puppy monkey baby. Pulled pork pierogi hoagie.
Puppy monkey baby.
Pulled pork pierogi hoagie.
What about you, Mike? If you had to pick one, what would you pick?
I mean, the pulled pork pierogi hoagie sounds delicious. I don't know. This Nashville hot chicken taco trio. I like my Nashville hot chicken. Spicy. You know, I like spicy foods, but I don't know.
So we have a few more that we're going to add here. So the Pirates this season are also going to be teaming up with a farm in Washington County called the Pittsburgh's Rivendell Farm. So the Pirates are going to have a lot more types of vegan-looking like options. And a little bit more of these healthy options. One's called an untuna salad, so I'm interested to see what that's all about.
I don't like tuna to begin with, let alone fake tuna.
What does it say here? It's Garbanzo beans. I can't even say what's in it. If you can't read the ingredients, then it's probably not going to taste good.
Yeah, Garbanzo. I think it's Garbanzo. I don't know. But so, and then another thing is the Hall of Fame Club, which was located in left field above the bleachers, is now going to be called the Jim Beam Left Field Lounge. And I think
wasn't it Rivertown before? The Rivertown Hall of Fame Club?
Yeah, it was Rivertown. So it must be
now,
a new sponsorship.
Now it's Jim Beam. Stealing
I'm
McBeam.
Thinking it's because we know the Pirates might be so uncompetitive this year, people will need that Jim Beam during the games.
Oh, shots fired. Oh, wow. Bang, bang.
Only if you're willing to pay like $10 a drink, though.
So when I was talking about the farm, there's a new place called At the Market, and it's behind Section 118. That's where you're going to get all your healthy choices if you head over to PNC Park this season.
Well, Matt, I think the most important farm for the Pirates this year will be the farm system. And we will have to see in the coming weeks what this team can figure out. And I honestly think the farm system could bear fruition. They can enjoy some of the fruits of their prospect grooming labor. And hopefully in the coming weeks we will see the Pirates really mold. But unfortunately, I think that is all we have time for today.
You know what that means? Why don't you play us out, Mike?
Oh, boy. Signing off, I'm Michael Schuele. Alongside me, Matt Curtick and Logan Kearney. Let's hit it.
Guys, I just want to throw out there that opening day tickets are still available for a low price of $30. April 2nd against the Twins.
Oh, these guys also know you can get a Seven Springs ski pass, too, probably.
And then, but we say $30 on Wednesday and Thursday. You could get Pirates home tickets for $6 a piece. So head over to PNC Park.
I ain't giving Bob Nutting a dollar.
Head to the field June 16th for a Hawaiian shirt giveaway.
Should have signed McCutcheon.
Every Friday is T-shirt day at PNC Park. Every Saturday you can grab yourself a show of the Zambelli Fireworks.
What's every Saturday now?
Bring back
Ronnie
Cedeno.
The Pirates are finding ways to get people to the field, to the stadium, no matter how competitive the team will be.
Mike McHenry on the Pirates postgame show.
He took over Teat's spot. Anyway, guys, I'm Matt Curtick alongside with Mike Schuele and Logan Kearney. I know Mike signed us off, but we'll sign us off one more time. Thank you for joining us. This is Cannonball coming. We'll be back every Wednesday for the rest of the semester and then start again at 7 o'clock. We won't be at 8 o'clock anymore. We'll be at 7 o'clock starting next week, the week after, and then hopefully start this back up once the semester begins in the fall. So right. Thanks, guys. Everybody shout for our home team, a new Pirate generation. Everybody shout, let's go Pirates! Every slide there'll be Pittsburgh pride.